As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. How beautiful words can be. One could say it was a short night and I didn't get much sleep at all. Or, last night sleep seduced me and I was taken into its embrace and cradled in a rest I did not know. But all too soon I was nudged awake by that nestled feeling of its embrace having let loose, and sleep had abandoned me just as gently and quickly as it had come to me. One paints a picture of being restful, of being warm and comfortable, and although the time spent actually sleeping may have been short, the sleep was renewing. The other picture paints one of restlessness, of tossing and turning, perhaps even a hard time getting to sleep, let alone staying asleep. And it leaves you to draw memories of your own restless and sleepless nights. How can one night be described in two different ways, even though it is the same night being described? Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. My name is Rhonda, and I come to you from Foundations Bible Church in Winnebago, Minnesota. And I'd just like to take a moment before we get into the devotional to invite you to come and join us. We start Sunday school at 9 a.m., worship is at 10:15, and fellowship follows worship. Come, join us in song and in worship, in lesson and in prayer, and come learn to know more about the God that you call your own. Earlier, we looked at two pictures of the same night of sleep. They were two different pictures because of the words that were written. Words are revealing. They can confirm or deny. They clarify or mislead. They strike or embrace. They tear down or encourage. They are binding or loose. Words open doors to communicate with each other. They are able to fill the earth with song and reveal mysteries and wonderful things, and also those things that will frighten you beyond measure. Words are powerful. Do you or have you ever wondered why Jesus is called the Word? It is easier to grasp hold of or gain the understanding of the Bible being the Word of God, and even more specific with it described as the inspired Word of God, meaning that it is His Word and His thoughts. Throughout the generations, there have been men whose job it was to record the words of men or of history itself. And so it was with the men who were called upon to lead and to record the words of God. They left for all generations a history of those who walked with or fought against the Lord God. It's not their word, but their style that we see that is different among each of the authors. And yet, when viewed through the proper lenses of the Bible, the Word of God, it is one story, one continual record of the journey of creation, of the fall of man, of the birth of a nation, and the acknowledgement of a chosen people. It is the story of judgments, of promises, of hope, and of the birth, life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the person Jesus Christ. So we still have to answer the question before us. Why is one of Jesus' names the Word? It was through Jesus walking among men that God revealed to men, God was revealed to men in the flesh. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Henry Garapi unpacks this one verse in his book, 100 Portraits of Christ. And in it he says that there are five truths here that John declares about Christ Jesus the Word. His eternity in the beginning, Jesus has always been. His fellowship with God, He is part of the Trinity, the Godhead. His deity was God, the Father and Son are one. His work in creation, all things were made by Him and for Him. His incarnation was made flesh. He came to live as and amongst men. In Hebrews 1, 1-3a, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. All along, Jesus has been there. From the beginning he was there, and he was the one sent to free men and to conquer death, and he will be the one leading the charge to come and take back what is and always has been his, the whole of the earth and everything in it. Revelation 19:13, in speaking of that return, John writes of the vision he has been given and of Jesus. He is dressed in a robe dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. As the Word, Christ was God, become visible to men. As the Word of God, Christ Jesus reveals to us the heart and the mind of God. He unveils the mysteries and the might of God and of his magnificent mercy and compassion towards men, and the beauty of unconditional love and of forgiveness and of grace. For generations, men made sacrifices to God. They went to the tabernacle and to the temple. They made covenants with God, but they had not seen him to walk amongst them in the flesh, someone they could see and that they could touch. And when he did come to them, he was rejected by them. His word would be rejected and scorned. There are 1,245 entries in the Strong's Concordance for the word. That is the power of it. Whether it speaks of the recorded word or the representation of God in the man Jesus Christ, the power of a word can bring about life or death, happiness or sorrow. It can lift and encourage. It can tear down. It can open doors or close them. It can bring you closer to God, or if a lie, take you further away. It will teach you, help you to see things you could never imagine, and it will breathe life into you. But in order to grow and mature, in order to see the Word, Jesus Christ, you must first be renewed by the Holy Spirit, and then be in the Word of God. For without Jesus in your life, without the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the Word will be just that, words on a page. You can't discern nor understand, and they will be sounding hollow to you, and they will neither fill nor will they satisfy you. Jesus spoke words of hope, of healing, of promise. He bent down and touched the unclean, spoke life into the dead. He spoke what the Father placed on his heart, and his every word was what was given him for the people or the person who stood before him. The words that you speak today, what do they give to another? Are your words those that have been spoken to you? If so, do you know who it was who spoke them? The Word of God says that the sheep will know their shepherd's voice. And so the question is, in these days of confusion, where deception has no boundaries, where men continue to talk over one another and refuse any sign of reason, whose voice do you hear? What words do you hold in your heart? Is it the Word of God, Christ Jesus, or is it the inspired Word of God, the record of the beginning and the end of how to live life in between? The Word that you hold in your heart, does it breathe life into your being, or does it draw the life out of you? Because of the power of a word, it will be one way or the other. Heavenly Father, you have given us your Word. What a beautiful picture you give us in Isaiah 55 of the Word. It goes beyond just seeing. Jesus coming to earth to do your will, Father, in rescuing me, a sinner, from death. But it paints the picture of life when it speaks of the rain and of the snow and of the watering of the earth and of your promise that what you have set before him to do will be done, that he will accomplish what you desire, that he will achieve the purpose for which you have sent him. Those are words that set the foundation of my hope in Christ Jesus, and for that I will be eternally grateful. I am amazed by you. I am thankful for forgiveness and for your love. Why or how you can love me, I don't understand. But I know that you do, for your word says you do. And who am I to question your word? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.